And welcome everybody to a special edition of Bubba in the Bloom, episode 330. It'll be a mini-sode, I guess we could say here, but sitting next to me is my co-host Ryan Bloomfield. We just wrapped up our online AC, or not online, live AC auctions for the NFBC. We're in different rooms, different drafts. We'll go over those. We'll talk experiences and much, much more. But I guess, Bloom, it's you've been done for like 15, 20 minutes. We got done about 45 minutes ago because we're better than you guys. But what's your thoughts on your auction?
Well, first off, just hearts pumping. Hearts pumping still. That was an incredible experience. I've done live auctions before, not through the NFBC and not with kind of all the, I won't say pomp and circumstance, but with all the kind of extras that they have in Vegas here. It was pretty sweet. We are, I guess we'll set the scene for you guys. It's just me and you in a room, which we'll see how this goes, but we're in the Brasilia Ballroom where one of the auctions took place.
Let's clarify the room. We are in the ballroom. We're not in one of the hotel rooms. We are in the ballroom talking.
Yes, correct. Correct. We each have some high noons, courtesy of NFBC. We had dinner during the auction tonight. Just an awesome experience. Started at 4 o'clock. Like you said, yours wrapped up a little quicker than mine, but dinner at 6. Just a real fun group. And it was a hell of a time. Just the overall experience was really fun.
Yeah, it's a blast. Kind of sums up what we kept saying last year when we came to Vegas to hang out and we watched the drafts. We wanted to do a live draft, and watching them is one thing, but getting to sit in and do them, like, we in the morning we came to the 10 o'clock ones and we kind of hung out for a bit and watched some of the drafts, and we were both like, okay, let's get lunch. We're ready. We don't need to sit here any longer. It's yeah. Go time. Like, the nerves were gone. Like, or at least like they seemed like they were gone, and it was good to see the action in place. But in the end, it was good to kind of sit down at the table and start going with it.
Do you think so? I mean, obviously our listener leagues are all online. What's the live versus online? What's your live versus online experience takeaway?
Oh, it's pretty simple. I would hope everybody would agree, but it's a million times better in person. It's like if you're playing video poker versus poker with your friends at a table. Like, you're looking at people, you're yelling out numbers, you're yelling out bids, it's just the flow of things, yep. All that kind of stuff. It's just so much about the in-person experience that it blows. Like, the format's great on the NFBC. We've talked about it time and time again, but actually sitting here doing it in person, it's tough to beat.
The other thing too, like, just the auction dynamics are different, right? Because you're saying your bids out loud, so you don't have to have the draft room up. I did have it up, especially in the end game, just to kind of have a list of guys for the queue, but you're not clicking anything in the draft room. That's all taken care of. We had Jeff Stein. My auctioneer was Tom Kesnick, and Jeff Stein entering in the computer. And then there's a projector with the draft board up. So in terms of, like, there's just less crap you have to focus on in a live thing. I went Bubba style, one screen, just the laptop. I had my team tracker and my cheat sheet, and that was it. Had my phone next to me for any breaking news. Earlier today, the Dylan Cruz to AAA news, for example, broke during the auctions, and
during their first break.
Yep, during the break, and folks did not know about it. Some folks, and so that was interesting. So I wanted to, of course, see if anything came up news-wise, but just a lot fewer things to track when you are online. You don't have to worry about the mechanics of the draft room. The other thing I will say too, in online, you get so many more of the, like, Bryce Harper for a dollar, and then it goes up and up and up. When you're live, no one throws those guys out for a dollar. It's very much more strategic on who the nominations are and also what the starting bids are. That to me, in terms of, like, the auction dynamics, that was a big difference. Is people are very strategic about what their starting number is for the amount that they throw these guys for, as opposed to just a dollar, because that's the default in the online thing.
And if someone's threw them out for like a dollar or $3, whatever, a low number, let's say, there are people quickly at the table to put it within like $5 of the AAV. It's like, okay, let's get the party started. We know where this story's going to end. Let's get there. And they're very quick to do that. The other great part about this, because, you know, Ryan made the joke that did it Bubba style. Almost everybody here does it Bubba style because they all have notepads and paper that they use. And it's
still couldn't do it, man. Still all electronic. Can't do it.
It was great to see that dynamic at the table. And yeah, my room was something else. I'll say that. And Ryan's was probably equally as challenging and fun. Just different personas at the table, I would say. But yeah, the in-person experience, awesome. We had Greg Ambrosius doing our auctioneering in our room, and It was an experience, Ryan. So anything else on just that before we start talking the actual draft, I guess?
No, yeah, let's talk. But we haven't really, we texted each other a little bit kind of throughout, just things that came up. But no, let's talk about whatever you want to talk about, our drafts.
Yeah, so I guess we'll start with you. I get the promo codes. We'll let you go first here. What was your like takeaway? Because we were texting about like prices. I told you like pitching was crazy in mine. Yeah. I know you were having some other things going on in yours. Like just in general thoughts about your draft room compared to, let's compare it to doing like the OLAX.
So heading into the auction, and we kind of pulled some recent of these higher stakes auctions and from earlier in the day, the prices for these average auction values. The biggest thing to me, just general draft wise, is the closer prices, man. Like, good Lord, they got even more expensive in these Vegas auctions. So like Mason Miller has an average of $27, a few other guys at 25 and above. Yoan Duran's at 25. It sounded like your room was a little bit hotter on pitching than mine, but most of my closers were still going in kind of the mid 20s. And so I was expecting that to back off as we get closer to the season, as a few more roles are determined and we're not in draft and holds anymore. But that was the biggest question that when I was prepping for this auction is like, what the hell am I going to do with closers? I started out budgeting $27 for my two closers, and I think I spent 26. So I guess that went according to plan, but it wasn't the $26 that I wanted to spend. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, no, pitching was definitely disastrous in mine.
You kept texting me like you kept texting me sample prices of pitchers in your auction, and they were bonkers.
Yeah, it's
relievers and starters.
Both, yes, both equally. And you know, sitting back, you got to adjust to the room. But it's one of those like we would see them in an OLAC or whatever, and it'd be a couple of guys, but eventually something would come back to reality. I guess that never really happened in this, at least not for a while. Because yeah, closers were nuts. Cade Smith went for 27.
And yep, he was saw like, that in your thing.
Yep. He was like the Brian Wu went for 27. Yoan Duran, 27. Those are just a few examples. But there was even some guys, you know, further down the list. Nolan McClain was insane. Let me try to find that price because that one shocked me.
Like, Sonny Gray and ours both went nuts. Yeah. I think 16 and 17 bucks.
Something. Yeah, it was.
In our two leagues, it was much fierce. Higher than average, even for Sonny. But
no, he went for 14 in mine, thank God.
Okay. But, he went for 17 in mine. I was shocked.
Yeah, Nolan McClain, because I remember like he got thrown out for 11, and everyone's like, okay, it'll be, you know, whatever. But then the room showed its colors. Nolan McClain went for $23. 23 bucks. He was going around like 17, 18 bucks, it felt like, at times. So to see Nolan McClain go for 23, wow. There was just a ton of guys like that.
17 in mine.
Yeah. And that's where things get really wild. Like, you'll talk about snake drafts and, you know this room, that room. But in the end, the ADP pretty much dictates, for the most part, where things go. Builds can be different, whatever. Every auction room, it's said time and time again, is so different. Like, your board, my board are obviously some similarities, but some just dramatic differences that if you think about it, a $6 difference goes a long way in building the rest of your roster. Like, it's just a game changer in that regard. So it did allow for some discounts in hitting, not gonna deny that, but it's just the pitching was crazy as we went through that. So I guess what else you're looking at when you're talking about your roster?
Well, let's talk about our relievers, I guess. So I ended up with Pete Fairbanks for 16, and then Robert Garcia for 8. Didn't really like either of those, but in my auction, the closers were going on average about $2 more than average. So I just needed to kind of float with the boat and do it. That's not even a saying. Float with the boat.
You make fun of the stuff I come up with on the show, and you went with flow with the boat. That's what you went with.
What do you think about that, Jake? Float with the boat.
It's pretty rough.
Shaking his head.
Yeah, you know, don't upset the apple cart with that one, huh?
Yeah. So you went what, Bednar 22, and who was your second closer?
Well, this is where it got interesting because we talked about it last time. I was trying to spend like 25 to 30 at the most in closers, but then when the prices were going nuts, I'm sitting there going, okay, I want to get one of the $20 guys because I'm not paying up for the middle tier, I'm just not doing it. And so I went and got Bednar at 22. which actually kind of fell in line with where he's been going, unlike some of the other guys. I mentioned Cade Smith, 27, Johan Duran, 27. It was insane. I'm mad because Chapman, three guys later, went for 19. I would have liked those $3.
Yeah. Hindsight, we can't. But yeah.
That's the way the cookie crumbles. That's another one for you there. Write that down. I went with Griffin Jacks at 11. Not the biggest Griffin Jacks fan, but when we're talking the prices that went through there, I was shocked. Like I just bid 11 thinking he was going to keep climbing. He went for 13 this morning when we were watching a draft.
Yeah, 12 in mine. Yeah.
And the way everything else was moving, I'm like, oh, there's no way. And half the time, like to be totally honest with my room, I had Posma, Hinkleman, Mager, a bunch of great players. And I'd be texting Ryan, like I'd be like, okay, I'm in on a guy. I think I'm going to get at least at market price right now. And then over like going once, going twice, Posma ups at a dollar or Mager.
Posma was in our texts. Posma came up a couple times. Super nice dude. Yes. Talked to him last night. And I, for you, that's probably a good thing that you're on the same page with him, but it has to suck that he one-ups you repeatedly. The other interesting thing with closers is I was hoping to get, my second guy was Robert Garcia, or Robert, what the hell his name is? Is Robert Garcia?
Of the Rangers, yes.
Yeah, Robert Garcia. I was trying to get a third closer, like a really cheap one. So I was looking at like Paul Sewald, Kirby Yates, or Clayton Beter. All those guys went for over $5.
What did Yates go for in yours?
Yates went for actually the same price as my Robert Garcia. Oh, no, sorry. Yates went for $7 in mine.
He went for $7 in mine. And I was wondering, because he went for $6 this morning. Obviously, the last couple of days, the news has come out, like basically, well, Stevenson's arm is falling off.
Yeah.
And Yates is the favorite. But which honestly, I thought by the end of this weekend, we're going to see, like, if Jax is 11, I figured Yates is going to be, like, at least get into that tier with Dennis Santana, Griffin Jax, like, move up that way a bit. And it never really happened, at least yet.
Yep.
The weekend's young. We'll see what you guys do in the main event tomorrow. That could get really interesting where that ADP climbs to. But, the Yates thing surprised me, but didn't. I think the guys were trying to, like, wait and sneak him through. And I'm like, this is not the room you're going to sneak him through in. Be glad you got him for $7.
I was trying to sneak Sewald. It was at the end. I was hoping, like, throw him out for, like, $2 or $3.
What do you go for in yours?
$5.
Okay, so in ours, this is where, like, the other part about auctions, if you use AAV, certain drafts can skew things. He was the last pick for one of the guys in our league in team 6, and he had $7 left, so he just threw him out for $7.
Yeah.
So, if you had him for $5 and they actually probably bid on him in yours, it's not that far off.
Timothy Lilly, who's in our Discord, he was messaging throughout. He was in the third of these auctions, I guess. And Sewald went for $5 in that one, too. So,
starting to set that market there. There we go.
Yep. So,
the closing predicament, it stayed the same. Some things didn't change. Did you pick up any closers in the reserve rounds? Any specs? Anything along those lines? Because that's the trendy thing to do.
I tried Mark Leiter Jr. and Jordan Romano.
Ooh, Jordan Romano, okay.
I don't know.
No, I get it. I get it. I went with Victor Vodnik. So like, I love the blow. loving to blow up my ratios.
Hey, Victor Vodnik, the first week of the season is on the road.
Well, that's the way I look at it. Like, I could just play him half the season and pray I get like 12 saves out of it, then combine that with Griffin Jackson. When Yuseta comes back and takes the job, it'll be awesome. Half joking.
All right. Since this is Bubba in the Bloom, we have to be on brand.
Catchers.
Yeah, catchers. We actually both, and the reason I bring this up, we both did the same thing. We both spent on catchers. That was one, at least in my auction. The prices I thought were pretty reasonable versus what we've seen in the OLAX and in our listener leagues. I got William Contreras very early for $20, and later on in the auction paired that with Will Smith. So I wasn't for 15. So I wasn't expecting to spend $35 on two closers. I knew I wanted to get catchers. Catchers. I knew I wanted to get one at like $17 or above. Was not expecting 20 and 15, but the prices kind of fell that way, so I thought I would do it. And you did something very similar. I think you got two different catchers, but you spent up on both of yours.
I spent $35 on mine, and that was very much not the case how we've basically done all draft season.
Right.
The idea was to get like one of the big guys. You got William. I got Hunter Goodman. I got Goodman for $19. King William went for $22. So I was looking for the thump because it's the old dying problem. Every year I say, Power's killing me. I always suck in power. So, like, I made a point. Ryan even came in at the first break and goes, oh, damn, like, you got power on this roster. I'm like, no, I'm making a point to try to address these things. So I got Goodman, and then usually I'll get I've got a lot of Jeffers or some of those guys as my catcher too, and use that money elsewhere. Well, not today. Today I went with Salvi Perez at $16. Like, the price was good. I was okay losing him if he went higher, because honestly, he's been going 17, 18, 19 bucks lately.
Yep.
So like, 16 to me was like a heck of a value to get both of them for 35. And if all clicks, you're getting like 60 plus home runs from your catching position, which is insanity if you really put that together. So that's where I went. It wasn't like the total game plan. Like, the Goose went for 14. He's been slipping
in 14 in mine too. Like, I don't know. That's a slander. But yet neither of us ended up with Goose.
Well, he went. I already have my two catchers. I couldn't even put on him.
Timing is everything.
It's like watching a child and you can't help them. He's on the board and I'm just like, dude, I'm sorry. It's not you. It's me.
You can try and help him.
Yeah, but I could have got him as my utility. How good would that have been if Goose is my three catchers of my first auction?
Not advised.
Yeah.
Okay,
speaking of that though. So we talk strategies on the strategy show and whatnot. The gentleman next to me, like, I'm not going to reveal names. I don't know if people want their info out. Who knows? But
say the names.
Matt Shepard was next to me. He was with Dusty Wagner. They had a combo. He had two catchers early, too. He had Francisco Alvarez and Yainer Diaz. And yeah, it's a good combo also. But what was really entertaining to me is for like five or six rounds in a row, he would throw out a dollar catcher every single time to make people spend money. I'm like, it's a great plan. If you get stuck with them for a dollar, yeah, it sucks, but you can move on. Like, you look at your end game, a lot of the dollar guys you get anyways, are you really rolling with that all season? Probably not. But it was an interesting strategy because it did get catchers rolling off the board. And if anything, it makes people spend a couple extra dollars. Like, Carson Kelly went for $2 instead of $1, stuff like that.
Yep. I had a couple teams, but I had one team go with the $2 catcher build, but I don't know. It wasn't a plan going in, but the prices kind of dictated it, so whatever.
Yeah, how to
the float.
Float the boat. Any other values that you throughout your draft that you were happy about? Any targets that, like, I guess we'll start. How do you feel? Because we talked catchers, we talked relievers. Obviously, there's 23 rounds of this auction before we do our reserves. Reserves are what they are, but like, how do you think the rest went? Because I know for myself, and I'll give you the floor, like, when I did the auction, the OLAC, I was like the last person to buy. It was almost three rounds.
Yep.
I still almost went two rounds before I bought in this one. But by the break, I think I had nine players and money was flying. So like, how did you, and I felt like I got values. I'll get to mine in a minute. Like, where were you at when you kind of looked at that, your team as you were building throughout the.
So my plan going in was spread the risk. And I did that to, I think, an extreme. I think it's kind of hard, and I'm not saying this is a good thing. I didn't spend, my highest dollar spend on a single player for my entire team was $21. Like, that's kind of hard to do.
Your highest player period is $21.
$21. I didn't spend more than $21 on a single player.
That's impressive, because you were all, the other day when I did my OLAC, my highest was $25, and you're like, how'd you do that?
You did $21. So
wait, real quick, was that out of choice or because you kept getting bid out?
I kept getting bid out on guys. It was one of my favorite exchanges for this auction. Again, going back to the kind of the live auction experience, you can actually see these people that you're bidding against. Mm-hmm. Me and James Anderson were back and forth on
tell your shortstop story
on Zach Neto.
First, preface what you told me earlier in the day about the new price.
What did I tell you earlier?
You're all, now that he's going like 20 to 22 bucks, you're in.
Yeah. And he went for 22 in yours.
Yeah, 22 in mine. And I was mad because I'm like, I should click the button one more time. But then I had Scott Jenstead sitting in the chair behind me thinking that's one of his biggest fades. And I'm like, ah, he's probably right. And it worked out in the end, but continue.
So I was at like 21, 22 with Ned, and I was like, hell yeah. Because I that was a core part of my plan. And me and James just went back and forth, me and him, from 21, 22, all the way up to 27. And I finally bowed out. So I just wasn't getting like the guys that I wanted in the mid-20s range. I was expecting to spend I had budgeted two $25 hitters, and it just didn't work out. So somewhat pivoted. And yeah, on the hitting side, I did not spend more than $20 on a single hitter. But I did get, and again, like, it's boring to talk about our own teams, but I talked about William Contreras earlier for 20. I got Naylor for 18, Machado 19, Arozarena 16, CJ Abrams 19. So I lived in that $18 to $20 range. I got five or six guys, hitters, in that group. So while I didn't obviously get even a third round pick, I got probably six guys between the third and fifth and sixth rounds. So I don't know. Again, that's spread the risk in general. So that's how I made up for not spending big on a single player, is I spent a lot in that $18 to $20 pool on the pitcher side too, but just talking about the hitters right now.
Yeah, that's where I usually like to live. I did not live there today.
No. You texted me J-Ram. I was like, J-Ram? What the hell?
Well, it's kind of, ironic's not the right word, but I know we were talking, I think it was on a recent show or it was in the Discord or something, that I'm like, I love J-Ram. I love J-Ram. I just have no shares of J-Ram because this is why auctions are great. With KDS, I'm either in the very front or the very back. Like, it never works in a world where I have J-Ram, like, teed up to me like you'd hope for in a draft. Now, in the auctions, I try to, you know, spread my money around. So spending up for a $40+ player, not my cup of tea. He wasn't $40 in this one. That's the beauty of it. I had it. This is one of the first Posma moments of my night. I had, and a few picks before this, Juan Soto went for 38 to Mike Mager of all people. And I'm like, that's an absolute steal. Like, yeah, it's good times there. But I had J-Ram for 36, going once, going twice. Posma raises me to 37. So I said, screw it, we're going 38. J-Ram's AAV has been 40, 41, 42. And I'm like, I'm going to get J-Ram. I'm going to corner a five-category monster, because that was like the only concern I've had with my spread it out, be patient format, is I don't really get a number one pick. And you don't have that five category.
Or even a number two sometimes.
Yeah. Like you said, you're living in that third to sixth round world.
Yep.
So I'm sitting there going, okay, I can save $2 or $3. I can spread it out elsewhere. Let's get them. So I went and got me a J-Ram share. And then it worked out because a lot of my hitters, I got under AAV the rest of the way. So, like, my hitter side, this draft, there was values galore. Pitching, not so much. Like, I mentioned Salvi's discount. I got Vinny Pascantino for $15. Like, that was outstanding to me. He's a guy I got a lot of shares on, but he's usually $18.
$16 in mine, so I don't know. But that's the thing. Pitchers going where they're at, something's got to drop. Yep. It's a zero-sum game.
I got Simeon for $4. I got C.J. Abrams also for $19. It was great. Ezekiel Tovar I got for $8.
He went cheap in mine, too.
Yeah. So it was pretty cool to see the discounts that did go around in that direction.
I had an interesting dynamic in this one. I had another guy in my team 10, basically the same exact plan. He did not spend over $22 on a single hitter, and we were in on the same old boring guys. He took Alex Bregman, Matt Chapman for $10 each, and I was in at $9. He took Ketel Marte, who I have a lot of, Yanni Diaz. So there was someone else in the auction with the same plan as me, and that was we both had the most amount of money. We were 1 and 2 in terms of remaining dollars for a good chunk of the first hour of the auction, which is, you kind of mentioned this earlier, but like that's a tough feeling to have the most money and just kind of wait it out. It was interesting that another team was basically doing the same thing that I was, and it made it challenging, I'll say, but did what I could.
Yeah, it is tough when there are people with a similar like build. I didn't look hard enough to see if, you know, others had similar builds to me. I don't think they did, but there were a lot of guys we were on like similar players, let's put it that way. And there was one moment that had me and Phil laughing. Phil Dussault was in the draft as well. And Phil and I, even last year, like I wasn't drafting, but we would talk a lot in between drafts because we do like a lot. He listens to the show, like we listen to him. Like, he likes a lot of the same players that we talk about. He likes the balance approach more often than not. And there was one time Matt Chapman's out there. That's why when you said it, it brought it to mind. At the same exact time, we both yelled $8. And the whole thing is, okay, does someone want to take it more? So at the same time, we both went $9. And then we both looked at Greg and Brocious and went, who's got it? And then so I think it's Lindy or
did
someone.
Did you do a coin flip or someone went to
10? No, I think Lindy went to 10 or someone went to 10. And I was just like, okay, and me and Phil just laughed. Okay, let him have it. Like, we're not going any farther that one. Yeah, it was. No, Posma. Posma got him for 10. Sorry.
Did you have any coin flips? Because sometimes that's how it ends. If two people say the same thing in these live ones, that's how and no one else wants to go another dollar. They literally flip a coin. It didn't happen in my
office. We had three. The goal was to have zero, obviously, but it ended up getting three by the end, and it wasn't that big a deal. It's more so because one of the some people are not as loud as others, and so then it turns into that whole situation.
Yeah. We're not all Jason DuPont.
Dude, we were hearing DuPont through the wall.
I heard him. So the funny thing with Vega, again, if you're out here, like, you learn these things. DuPont nominates, he's a noted Red Sox fan, nominates a Yankee every time for $1 and very loudly. And I guess he was in, I don't know.
He was in that room right there.
Okay.
He was in between us.
I heard him through the wall partitions yell, Ben Rice, $1. Yeah. I was like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, there was one time towards the end, he bid $8 on somebody. He just yelled $8 as loud as he could. And we were bidding on, like, somebody horrible. Like, well, low-dollar guys, what I'm trying to get to. And we just started laughing, going, someone go tell him he just bought so-and-so for $8. It's his. Because it was clear as day through that partition. It was DuPont's a legend in his own right. What do you got pitching wise?
Let's talk about starting pitching. We've talked about this and we shared kind of our strategies with Ben Tidd, just kind of texting him and going through. How much did you budget on pitching going into it? I was at out of a $260 budget, I was at 105. And that's a 60-40 split. That's pretty, I feel like pretty aggressive on pitching, but also I feel like that's a little bit more true to what these Vegas auctions tend towards. So I had a $155-$105 split between hitters and pitchers. Took a circuitous route. That's a word.
Big word for late on a Friday night.
I won't be able to say that one in a few hours.
I'm going to bring that back up at about midnight and see how that one goes.
I may be taking a circuitous path back to my room at the end of the Midnight Madness.
Like Papa Balloon in Arizona. They're going to show you back, buddy.
He had AI to help him, so he's good. A circuitous path to my 105, but that's what I ended up spending on pitching was $105, so 40% of my budget was on pitchers.
Yeah, I did the 150, 110, so that was my goal.
So even more on pitching.
I think I mentioned it in the chat, like we were talking with Ben, and I said, I want to budget 110, so at worst I spend $100. Like, because as the draft changes, this gives you flexibility to change. And I think I went, it was 158, 102. So I did 102 pitching, 158 hitting. And that was mainly just because the pitching prices were so high. When I filled out my rotation, we'll talk about it shortly, it was a ton of like $10 below pitchers. So there was really nowhere to spend the pitching money. It's not that I didn't want to. There was just nowhere for it to go. And so that's also a learning curve. Like, next time, do we say, screw it, the prices have gone up, I need to pay the increase. Because that was my one thing when I was chatting with guys after the draft that I was in. I said that's one thing I need to work on is maybe just – I like to leave with two $20 pitchers, maybe just suck it up and get two $20 pitchers. And then – figure out the value later at that point.
All right, so the staffs, I'll just say my side. That's where I lived. My plan going in was to get like a 20 and 24 something, SP1 and SP2. Ended up getting Dylan Cease first at 20 and then Joe Ryan at 21. Kevin Gausman at 15 is my SP3. Whatever. We won't talk about the individual players.
How much did Gausman go for in yours?
I got for 15.
I missed that. Yeah, that was when things, I think I texted you, I guess is when stuff's already going off the rails. Like, guys, he went for like 16 or 17 in mine. I was just like, this is, no, he went for 15 in mine.
Yeah, he was,
but his AAV was like 12-ish. And I'm like, okay, this is, if the mid-tier guys are getting pumped up, this is going to be a long night.
Yeah, and looking back, again, hindsight, so easy in the auction. There's probably 10 things you want to take back in every auction. Probably wouldn't have done that again, but whatever. It's fine. The biggest thing that, we both did a practice run basically of NFBC online auctions last week, kind of leading up to this. By the way, like, so happy I did that.
It helped tremendously.
Just to get the, and we didn't stream it. Exactly. None of that. Good Lord. No streaming. And my biggest takeaway from that was like my SP4 through 6 like sucked. Just didn't spend enough on pitching. So I wanted to have a decent SP4 through 6. Ended up spending, I think you got Trevor Rogers too. I spent $9 on Trevor Rogers, $8 on Ranger Suarez, and good old Captain Jack Flaherty for 7. So that was a plan going in, is I wanted to have a at least somewhat, I think, stable SP4 through 6, and I spent 9, 8, and 7 on that group. So again, for me, a pretty flat spend. Didn't spend over $21 on a pitcher, but also didn't spend less than $7 on any of my SPs 1 through 6, and that was kind of the plan going in.
Yeah, no, I did. I talked about my closers. Lizardo, I went for 25 because I'm like, I got to have one of my quote unquote ace potential.
That's your guy, man. And he could be. That's good. That's fine. Yeah,
because everybody, like Christopher Sanchez is up to 40. Chris Sale went for 29. Like all these guys are going 30. Up.
Sanchez, 30.
Sorry, Christopher. Yeah. I know he went for 31. He went for 31 in mine.
Wow.
So it was just like, if these guys are going here, like Max Fried went for 25, Brian Wood, 27. It was, I'm like, screw it. I'm getting Lizardo. This is my guy. We're going. And then I'll figure out the rest. And then that's the other thing of budgeting that 110. Like Ryan was saying, you didn't go less than $7 on a pitcher.
Until the I threw a dollar on Devlin at the end, but most of my staff. Yeah,
for me, like my last six pitchers, my six starters, SPs 2 through 7, 6 or 7 or whatever it is, 7, they were $4 to $10. Nothing less than $4. And I got Trevor Rogers for 10. Shane Boz for 10. Like I went up on him. I'm like, I'm getting my guy.
Yep.
I got Captain Jack for 8.
You got Flaherty too?
Yeah, that's why I laughed. Jesus. That's why I laughed.
We both have Rogers and Flaherty. Yeah. We're either gonna sink or swim.
Yep. There you go. Well done. You did it. You did it. I got Braxton Ashcraft for 7. I love his upside. Ryan Weathers for 5, and then Zach Gallen for 4. And okay. I'm like the way I looked at it is when if I'm not gonna pay up for a big guy, I'm gonna spread the wealth. I know he's starting. I know he's, one of the top pitchers in that rotation. He's the opening day starter. Maybe he finds some of that old form. But, let's just see what happens. Or at least go be Jack Flaherty. You know what I mean? Let's go figure that out. So it's not a sexy rotation at all. But considering the lack of aggressiveness early, it works.
But you just need the depth in these 15-teamers, man. 100%. Like, I went, again, in my warm-up thing, my SP 4 through 6 were so bad, I'm going to have to churn through waiver for those guys. And that's just – it's not a place you want to be. So, if it makes you feel any better, Bubba, Lizardo went for 24 in my auction, and Fried for 23. So it was just a byproduct of your room. They were pumping up those pitching prices.
You mentioned you had a dollar pitcher. How many dollar players did you get?
2. That's it.
I had 1.
Really 3 though. I bid $2 on. So another interesting thing that I did, and I don't know how I like it. I did say a Suzuki for $11. Hope he's okay to start the season with the knee. But what I did with that is I backed him up with Matt Shaw at corner infield for $2 to kind of cover myself. So probably could have got Matt Shaw for $1. I figure Shaw is going to play if Suzuki can't.
He went for 3 in mine.
Okay. So maybe that's not a dollar player. So I don't know. I ended up with $2 players. It was Benintendi at utility and Zach Eflin. And that's, I know listening to kind of to your show with Mark Winoker, that was a big thing that he kind of professes to a lot is you just don't want to end up with 5, 6, 7 dollar players because it's just so hard to, in a 15 teamer, replace that production. So I was happy I only ended up with $2 players.
Yeah, there was a few guys that had 4, 5, 6 dollar players of mine. I was surprised. And again, you push pitching up, you dance with the devil later. It was pretty much where that one went.
That's a saying.
I had $1 guy.
One. Holy hell.
Because I had $4 left for 2 players. I went and got Marcelo Ozuna for $3. I was actually really pumped.
Yeah, I had him at 2. I bid on 2 and he went up to 3.
Well, someone threw him out at 1. I had $3 left, so immediately I went 3. Like my max bid was 3, I just give it to me.
Yep.
And it worked. So my $1 player, Chase DeLauder.
Jesus. Oh, God. I'll say the full version of that later. Chase DeLauder.
But he's having a great spring. He's healthy right now. Yeah. But you mentioned Benintendi. I got him in the reserve rounds. So, yeah, I got Benny in most of my 15s. What other things you want to talk about? Anything else on your roster?
Just one last thing on roster.
Are you picking apart my roster right now with that picture?
No, I'm just looking at similar. We actually had a lot of similar. So we both got a Rosarena at 16, same price. Mm-hmm. We both got Trevor Rogers. We both got Jack Flaherty. We both got Abrams. You got him for 18. I got him for 19. We both spent at catcher. We both were very flat with our starting pitcher builds. And we both kind of practice what we preach on our preview shows and our ADP pocket shows at second base.
Yes.
I waited till the very end for second base. Spent $1 more than I wanted to on Marcus Semien. Got him for $6. But it looks like you did the same. You got Semien for $4, which is even nicer.
I got him for $2 in my OLAC the other night. I was like,
God.
Yeah. So apparently I'm on the Marcus Semien train this year. That's where we're going.
Adam valued at $10 in my spreadsheet. So I mean, whatever. But it was cool to kind of see us. We did a lot of similar things. One of which was waiting at second base, and I didn't have a problem doing it at all because, like I said, I think I was the last one to get a second baseman in my group. But there were still like Gleyber Torres, Luis Garcia, there was Marcus Semien. Would have been happy with any of those guys. Ended up with Semien, but that kind of played out as this. Everyone likes to kind of crap on second base, but if you wait there, there's guys, and that played out tonight.
100%. That's like I was even shooting for him late when I was low on money for like my utility. Like Otto Lopez went for $4. Brendan Donovan still goes for $3 if you're into that game. Luis Garcia Jr., he ended up going for $6. But you can get a bunch of cheapies to your point. Gleyber Torres and company, Andres Jimenez for $4, Jackson Holliday for $3. It's definitely something to practice what you preach on that one, because it's not that I wasn't in on some of the other guys, but I wasn't like it wasn't a make or break situation for me. The only guy I was probably really in on as I was building my roster, going, I got tons of power, I want to kind of short my batting average, I was trying to get Nico Horner. I had him up to 13, and then the gentleman next to me, Strickler, went up to 14, and I said, you can have him. I'm not going to, like, his AAV was 14 or 15. I wasn't going to go crazy there when I knew I can get a discount at second base later.
Yeah, Nico went for 13 to Waxman in mine. Drafting with Waxman was an experience too. He was a little more with it than the
morning. I was going to say, was it better than this morning when, good Lord, that poor boy.
Yeah, it was fun. Him and Waxman and James went back and forth on a ton of players. It was fun to watch. I don't feel bad for anyone, but everyone in our auction, in our room, knew James is the prospect guy. And so whenever James is bidding on a prospect, that was an interesting dynamic to see in real time.
Out of curiosity, speaking of prospects, we'll do this real quick. How much did Connor Griffin go for?
I don't think that much.
He went for $7 in mine.
$6.
What about McGonagall?
McGonagall was thrown out very late in mine. Same and went for $4.
Went for $5 in mine. I threw him out for $3 when that was my max bid still, and so they went up quickly. What about Weatherholt?
Yeah, so that's the one I'm kicking myself over, because I mentioned earlier that I waited on second base and got Semien, which is fine. I probably should have got Weatherholt. He went for $3. I could have got him at $4. Maybe the guy's a Weatherholt guy and could have got him at $5. Would have gone back up to $5, but first. The boringness of this team, it would have been nice to have not a dart throw, but a ceiling guy like Weatherholt for $4.
Weatherholt was the first player thrown out in our league.
Really?
Him for $6. Because I was at first, I'm like, I had him targeted. We talked about him recently. Like, I'm in on him. And then I'm sitting there not knowing the prices. I'm like, I'm not paying $6. Like, I know. We're going to play the game elsewhere at this point. So,
yeah, that's like, that tough, was the bummer. That's tough, the first throw. Our first throw was, I loved it. It was Daniel Palencia.
That's awesome.
It was good.
That's real good.
How much did he go for? And he went for $20, which is, again, sounds crazy like a month ago, but that's the price on Daniel Palencia. $20, first throw.
Yeah, he's been climbing, right? He went for $19 in ours. So, yeah, that's not a surprise. I think all I got, unless you got more to talk about. It was an absolute blast. I like the team. I understand it's going to have to be massaged throughout the year and taken care of, but
easy.
I did use your awesome NFBC standings predictor, and I'm predicted to finish 8th in the league, which middle of the pack, that's all I can ask for right now. And I knew it because my pitching we talked about, especially some of those young guys, they're not going to project well at all. But like I'm projected for 82 points. To the surprise of nobody, second place is at 95, only 13 points behind second place. First place is projected at 116 points.
Whew.
Do you want to guess who that is?
I'll say Dassault.
No, it's the two-time defending auction championship overall winner,
Mager.
Mike Mager.
Mager?
He's projected to absolutely lap the field now.
Good luck, Bubba.
Yeah. John Posman.
Best of luck.
John Posman is projected to finish 3rd.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's cool. It's a lot of fun. I'm glad I did this.
Hey, you can do it, man.
Yeah, final
thoughts. We were saying earlier, too, like, if you win your league, even if you cash in your league,
I'll
that's going to be
I'll be insufferable.
Well, you're already semi insufferable, but
it'll be worse. I promise.
I imagine. Yeah, it would be a hell of an accomplishment if you took that down. No, I don't really. We have a party to get to. We're going upstairs to the Mike the Mouth annual presidential suite party, whatever it's called. What time is it? It's 9:15, so it already started. We gotta get up to our room, freshen up, and head up there. So I'm good, man. We will do another show Saturday main event, but this was fun to kind of recap. Feels like a post game press conference. Mm-hmm. Should have reporters here. They don't care enough.
No, they don't. We are the reporters, right? That's the problem.
We report on ourselves.
Yeah, we are the reporters. But yeah, it was a blast. Thank you all for listening. The kind words we got in the Discord. Hope now we get to go through it and hopefully make better out of this. But like Ryan said, we'll be back to you Saturday. We've got a handful of people that want to jump on and chat. So we'll see how that goes. We'll piece it all together. Hopefully, it comes out Saturday night for you. But until then, follow Ryan on the old Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, on Patreon at patreon.com/Bubba Bloom. I'm at BD Intrick. This is Bubba the Bloom, episode 330. Catch y'all next time.